call the Board of Supervisors to session. Supervisor Cox, Deputy Police Chief, the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Did you see a chaplain?
Well, do you want to do roll call first?
We can do either way. We usually
we'll do invocation.
Invocation first. Yeah.
We have our dear officer giving us invocation. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm worried for mine. First of all, it's an honor to be with you. Let us pray. So, Heavenly Father, you placed this Board of Supervisors in positions of leadership over all the residents of Siskiyou County. It is not an easy task that they undertake, for they are responsible for the well-being of a number of people. For this, we ask you to fill each of our supervisors with wisdom as they discuss the many issues of this day. Bless them for their service, and may they find direction and inspiration in you. In your Son's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All righty.
Roll call.
Okay, so Supervisor Houghton.
Present.
Supervisor Cogstaff.
Here.
Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
All right. Now is the time for presentation from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will allow 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within jurisdiction of the board. Any comments online, Ms. Elizabeth?
Yes, we do.
Right.
Number ending in 5947, you may unmute and it is your turn to speak.
Hello, this is Polly Hanser. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Go ahead, Ms. Holly.
Yes, this is Polly Hanser. Today is June 23rd. On June 27th, between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m., our time, California time, in Arizona, Jovan Pulitzer, J-O-V-A-N-H-U-T-T-O-N, P-U-L-T-I-D-E-R, will be presenting to Arizona lawmakers the deep forensic findings and the Maricopa audit. Maricopa is probably larger in population than most of our states in America, and they use the same type of voting systems that we do in Siskiyou County. So I encourage each one of you hearing this and all to share with your friends to please tune in. Because of security issues, it won't be released exactly where. It will be live streamed. And so that is, again, somebody just retired, sorry, the dog barked. But that is a week from yesterday, so it'll be next Monday, June 27th, and it's on election. What's going on? And I do encourage our county clerk to also watch it and all in that board. And I will share it as far as possible and as wide and as soon as I know what live stream forums, what have you, or what TV things will be broadcasting it. It happens to be that on the J6 game, there are some people from Arizona who will be claiming that they didn't see anything, but they have refused to listen to the proof files or to download the proof files from Javon Hood and Pulitzer and his team, his technological team. And I hope that you guys will also learn. There'll be a 45-minute presentation, just straightforward, rapid pace, and then 2 hours of questioning on Javon Hutt Pulitzer's findings. So, last supervisor's meeting, I mentioned that this will be happening, and I didn't know the exact time, but now I do. Again, Monday, June, I believe, 27th, between 6 p.m. 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which this time of year is also Arizona time. Thank you very much. And that's all, because the dog is barking, but that's all. And I don't know who this dog is. Thank you. And again, I please ask the supervisors to let the county clerk know about this. And it's very important that we understand how many ways, you know, how many cuts are possible for the hacking of our system, so we can fill in the holes and make sure that our vote is that our vote counts and our person counts. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hanser.
Okay, another comment?
All right.
Nat Kane, you may unmute, and it is your turn to speak.
Good morning, members of the board. I just wanted to ask if the board knew what time item 9A might get heard today. I'm potentially double booked, and I would like to make a comment on that item, if possible. And I just want to try to see if you all know what the schedule for today is, and when that might come out.
Mr. Kane, I learned a long time ago not to to anticipate exactly how board meetings are going to go. I apologize for that. I can't set an exact time for you. I believe I received an email from you last night, though. One option we could do is, if you do want to give public comment now, you can do that now, but I can't guarantee that I can schedule you. I can't guarantee what time that'll happen. And, of course, this conversation won't cut into your 3 minutes, but if you'd like to just give general comments now on the subject, feel free to, but I can't guarantee what 9A will happen exactly the time I'd set.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. If you don't mind, I'll make my comment right now, and then I'll if I have anything to add later when the item comes up, I can participate then, if that's okay.
That'll work.
Okay, so just very briefly, I saw on the agenda worksheet that staff is making a recommendation to not adopt the ordinance that was put in front of the board back in May and earlier in April regarding new wells in the Scott Valley. ELF supports a potential action to, instead of adopting that ordinance, to develop an EIR for new wells countywide. I think that's the path that the county should go down. If the county goes down that route, I would like to see assurance that no wells would be developed in the meantime, and I think that's what CEQA requires. And that's really all I have to say on that, pending any other discussion that might occur as part of that item. Thank you for letting me comment on it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. King. Any other public comment?
No other comments.
And I believe we have some public comment. Thank you, Mr. King, and then some comments in-house.
Yes, County Administrator Angela Davis. Good morning, Chairman Chris, members of the board. I would like to introduce to you today in our audience, we have Mr. Sawyer Lawson. He is joining us today on behalf of a compliance with 4-H, and he had to attend a governmental agency meeting, and so he chose this meeting. So I think it's a great opportunity for our future to be able to watch you in action today. So I just wanted to welcome and thank him for joining us on today.
Hey, you got to say a few words in there. That's part of the process.
Feel free to come up where we don't bite too much. If you'd like to come up to the microphone, is, you know, you could come in for 4-H for public speaking, probably.
Yeah, how about raising your turkeys?
Whatever you're comfortable
with. And your name and your age.
Your name.
So I'm Sawyer Lawson. I'm 11 years old, and I'm doing a turkey project for 4-H. I have 9 turkeys. I think we have 5 toms and maybe 4 hens. I'm super excited to raise turkeys.
We're called turkeys once in a while, particularly. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, nice.
That's great.
All right. Good job.
Mr. Lawson, thank you.
Yeah. Sorry, Sawyer. I told you you wouldn't have to do that. It's good practice.
Yeah.
It is good practice. Whoops.
I particularly love when the high school kids come and they're in the back, and I make them come and sit in front.
Good deal. Thank you, Chairman.
Absolutely. from experience from 4-H, I believe you can check a few boxes on your 4-H handbook. For public speaking, also government meeting, you check a few handbox there for that gold star.
We'll make sure we do that.
Awesome. Any in-house, any more in-house public presentations? Yes, I'll... urgency, any urgency items?
As a matter of fact, it's a risk. That would be consideration of an opposition letter to SB 443, which you, the chair, brought to our attention as something which came, something you became aware of needing to be addressed after the posting of the agenda on Friday, June 17th. Because we need feedback to the Senate, State Senate, regarding SB 433 prior to our next board meeting, which is not until July 5th. For that reason, we're requesting that this be put on as an urgency item pursuant to Government Code 54954.2B2, and be added to the regular agenda. And I'll, if I don't have details regarding SB 443, the chair, you're the one who requested this to be put on. If you could maybe give us a little background on that, that would be helpful.
Yes, on the subject, not to get too much into it, but SSV, I sent an email last night asking counties to, it was an urgent item to sign on to or author a letter, a draft letter, regarding our concerns with SB 443. One of the things it impacts is the local LEMSA, and one of the main concerns is it takes county control away from it. One of the things it does is it would allow ambulance services to cherry pick within the county the areas they want to transport from, which would ruin the economics of covering the whole area, where you have some that are great and some that are, some ambulance runs that don't pay much, to keep ambulance services viable for the both rural and urban areas.
And so my understanding is there's a sample letter that's been
there's
requested.
There's a sample letter. And I apologize, I thought I sent it to you last night, but it was it wasn't attached to the email.
Sure.
But it's a request of SSV. Wishes of my colleagues?
Will we be able to see it, the sample letter?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a copy of it?
I just emailed a copy to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And SSV, I'll be available too, most likely, to answer questions on it. I know we have to vote and put it on
right,
before we
right,
talk
right, right.
It,
so move to stop and move to put it on the agenda.
A second.
But, roll call vote.
Okay, Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
We'll add that at a later time, correct?
Correct.
I think they're just printing off the letter for everybody.
Yeah, we need to print off the letter.
Okay.
And you said you may have someone calling in.
Yeah, someone from SSV is, I believe, on. Patrick. But I don't. Did you want to have the letter first and then bring him on?
We need to print it. We just don't.
Yeah.
I said do the letter. I'm going to do consent agenda, some fire stuff, and then we'll get to that afterwards.
At your discretion, or whenever you want.
What I'm going to do is consent, fire department reports, and the county service area 4, and then after county service area 4, do 443. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No.
Figuring out how to print it out. We'll figure it out.
Okay, sounds good. All right. With that, consent agenda? Oh, we need to do a roll call, though.
We did.
Consent agenda? Wishes of my colleagues?
I'd like to pull 5D.
Move to approve the review.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. Supervisor Kopsev?
So last week we approved an increase of $15,000 to $165,000, and this week there's another $10,000. And this is general fund money. Mm-hmm.
I apologize. What was it?
The item 5D.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we authorized or approved another 15,000, and this week there's another 10, and we're up to 175. Is there a? I guess it's, what's the status? Because it's gonna. Do you still have money in the pot? I guess you for this.
Yeah, we are running low. That is for sure. This is the one where we're seeking to recover attorney's fees for any other side. So we're spending a little money in hopes of getting more money back.
All right. Thank you. Move to approve.
I'll second that.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, Supervisor Hal.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsett.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. All right, item 6A, General County Fire Annual Report.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and honorable members of the board. Thank you for having us. My name is Phil Anzo. I'm the Unit Chief of Cal Fire Siskiyou and the County Fire Warden.
I'm Bernie Paul, the Chief of South Wairika and also the President of the Chiefs Association. We're here to present the annual report and just kind of report on you kind of some of the stuff that's been going on. You know, first off, through the local chiefs, you know, we're struggling with numbers. Our volunteer numbers are low, and so we're working on that. We've been trying to up our training. We did a driver operator course to try to get more operators to be able to drive the engines because we're critically low with that. With the changes in the driver's license issues, we're trying to get them with the firefighter endorsement. Because I don't know if you guys know right now, to get a commercial driver's license, you have to go to a driving in school, which is down in Reading, which is between $3,000 and $4,000 to get your driver's license. So we've been working on doing the firefighter operator. We had about 30 folks go through it between South Wairika, Montague, and Wairika City. So we're working on that. That's been a real struggle. Trying to get everybody prepared for fire season, doing the safety training, the RT 130-190. Some of the big issues that we have going on out there or mutual aid. We've been, a lot of places in the county are going into mutual aid, like in North County here, Montague, Wairika City, and South Wairika. We respond to everybody's calls, all three of us. We all go each time. The same with Scott Valley. All those departments are responding together, and the same with South County, just because we are so low on numbers, and that's kind of our survival part to try to get that done. Our responses are way up. We're up about 25%, which is not good with lower numbers of volunteers and more responses. It makes it really tough, and we seem like we're beating up our best volunteers because we're using them so much, and so that's been a real struggle. Also, we're working on through the Chiefs Association agreement with the KRC. They want to purchase some equipment to kind of offset losing the dams, I guess, is what's going on. But anyway, we're working on that, trying to get not only some portable tanks, some pumps, a chipper, and a truck to pull it with, and possibly some water tenders for the area. So we're currently working on that right now, trying to make that happen with it. But other than that, we're still struggling. Almost all the department numbers are way down. A couple of them actually have come up, which is surprising. But most of them are way down. We have a couple departments that have 1 to 2 people on them, which is real kind of scary right there, because that's just not enough out there. I'll turn it over to Phil.
Yeah, so in the report itself, we've been doing this for a few years, and it's really just to provide you a summary of what's occurring out there on the ground with your fire departments. And like Chief Paul said, the call volume has gone up and volunteer numbers have gone down, unfortunately. So we've been busy. The best part of the report, though, is it actually shows you exactly what each of the departments is doing out there with their total call volumes. It talks about their volunteer numbers, and it gives you a little synopsis of each of the locations, area that they protect. A couple other things that we do talk about, there's a letter from the county fire warden in there, and it details the current dispatch center and the services provided there. And with the increasing call volume, that workload does fall on that dispatch center directly and first and foremost. It also talks about the ability of the county fire warden and myself to rent equipment out to state and federal agencies. And that's actually been very beneficial for county fire, bringing in quite a bit of income through that process. The cover letter, it actually shows and talks about some of the incidents that we saw this last year. They happened to be all wildland fires. But that was a pretty significant fire year for us last year. It details a quick summary on each of the major incidents that we had in the county, starting with the lava fire, moving into the tenant fire, and then the river complex, the McCash, and the antelope. And there were a lot more that were out there that were kept small, in part thanks to an aggressive initial attack by our state and federal resources, but most importantly, the support of the local government departments that help us in these incidents. So we were able to keep a lot of these fires small, but some of them didn't reach a major status because we were overwhelmed at the time through the lightning that came through. So really, thank you for having us. We appreciate the time that you take to hear what the fire departments are doing, and we're more than happy to answer any questions you might have.
Colleagues, Supervisor Copson.
So, thank you to all of the departments that provide the service to the residents of Siskiyou County. One of the things that I think a lot of people don't realize is that by having your local volunteer fire department and then being, I'll call it certified, to be able to be a firefighter, whatever those costs are, sounds like they're continuing to go up. That's their offset to insurance. I mean, you're either going to pay it to your insurance or you're going to wish you had a volunteer fire department if it ever went away. And I know that we had the dialogue about county fire overall. Did the chiefs have kind of like a subcommittee going on that? I know we talked about it over the years, and I know that it's a tough deal to get up and get legs under it, but with all of the insurance cancellations, with the rate increases, areas that now are looking to put in their own department because they're not covered by other departments. Is there any status on that from the chiefs? Is that something still viable, or is that still kind of the third rail?
Well, that's a tough one.
I know.
Right now we need a roadmap, and really for us to recommend that, I'm struggling with it. I'm 5 years and just doing a little expansion, right. And the holdup is the county.
Yeah.
And until the county can take it seriously and start getting this stuff pushed through, you know, I don't really see much of it happening. I mean, if we had a roadmap and made it where it was viable, I think there are some departments that are looking to be able to, you know, either join the county or another larger department to actually get them back viable going. But without a roadmap and just struggling to make anything happen, it's going to be really tough.
So I'm going to just use your department quickly, because I know that you've been struggling to get that expansion because the Gulches lost their insurance, basically.
Yeah.
And your department stepped up to bring them in. So where are we? I heard the county's the hang-up. What's to get the hitch and the get-along? Or can you, or do you want to say?
You know, there's been a lot of promises made, but no answers given, and we're still stuck at the numbers for the properties that are coming in on what part the county would have to move, and that seems to be the hang-up. We can't get those numbers.
Okay. The numbers from the parcels that you're going to expand into.
Correct.
Dollar amount, is
yeah.
that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we can make that a priority, because this has been, what, 3 years in the making?
Going on 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's been a long process.
Yeah.
And I get calls every day from the folks at the Gulches, you know, because they're probably 20% of them that have actually lost their insurance now and had to go to the co-op, which is, you know, astronomically.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of other departments have called me wanting to know, you know, how we got as far as we did. And it'd be nice to finish it and be able to help other members, you know, within the county.
And then I'm just going to go back to the licensing thing, the $3,000 to $4,000. Does your department pick it up for your volunteers? How does that work?
Well, not right now. With $4,000 a pop,
yeah.
I mean, and you drive a truck, you're probably looking at another couple hundred dollars in fuel.
Right.
And if, you know, the truck has like a light out, you're out. Mm-hmm. And so we're really focusing on the volunteer, the firefighter operator endorsement. The problem with the endorsement is if we can't go out of state. The other states don't recognize endorsement. So no matter where we go, we have to stay within the state here. If we have an engine that needs to be repaired or something like that, or mutual aid up there, they can't drive across the state line. So it really limits you, but it's really our only viable option right now.
So is anybody picking that up on their own, that cost?
Not really the volunteers. Some of them that are doing it privately, you know, for a job, they want to get a job, are.
Right.
But, yeah, the options are limited, especially at that much money. And before they enacted a law that required that, it was about $800, which still was substantial.
Right.
But as soon as the law required it, it jumped way up. Now, I had heard some rumors that they're looking at repealing that because it's jumped up so high, they can't find drivers.
Right.
So I'm hopeful that part will happen.
Will you keep us posted on that front so
yeah.
that if there is something that that we can support a repeal? Thank you. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Supervisor Howe. Two quick questions. It looks like the 25% increase is largely medical responses. Am I reading the response logs correctly?
Yeah.
And what's the definition of public service?
Lift assists, okay. Fuel leaks, all those ones that don't really fall in that category.
Yeah.
And we've been having a lot of those. I mean, matter of fact, a lot of us have actually got some new devices that help lift people up. You know, we don't have to grab them. It's called a binder lift. It goes around with a bunch of hands, just because we have so many of them. And with short volunteers, I know I've had to go to a couple that I'm by myself, and I don't want to hurt my back picking up. So this thing really helps. You can stay straight and get them up. But yeah, we've had really a big increase in those public service calls.
So I guess I would assume that it's other includes everything with the exception of a medical transport, not leading to a medical transport.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Correct?
And to be truthful, with a lot of those that we go out as a public assist end up being a medical response. We'll get there and do assessments like, no, you know what, you know, so it'll step up to a medical response. We do have quite a few of those.
Well, a quick one. In my district, see, there's not much of a response on those kinds of incidents from the Forest Service. But a large part of the district is covered within their primary response area. I know the government policy stuff, but is there any effort that you're aware of that we might get behind to get the federal government to change its position on responding to those?
I believe that they will respond if we request them.
Yes, and that's
yeah.
That's the direction.
Pretty low. That's why.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the direction that that I've been given by the previous force supervisor and the current one. Is
right.
that our responses would remain the same, and all they have to be is requested to go to those type of incidents.
Some of the ways to stop the overburden of the volunteer fire departments that are within my district. I know they're struggling. If some of it would be pushed off on another agency, is kind of share the burden, that'd be great.
Sure, is open.
Sure. Thanks for all that you do. I've talked at length with Chief Lemus regarding the public service calls and how many you all get. And tried to help him figure out how to make those a little bit less. Also talked to PSA 2, elderly services, how to figure out how to maneuver that a little bit better. Probably hasn't helped at all, but I'm aware and trying to figure out a better way to take care of those problems and mitigate that a little bit, because I know that's a huge problem. And it takes up a whole lot of your time. It's great that you all can coordinate your calls, and I'm really aware too, as we all are, that especially during fire season, that is, these calls take up so much of your time when you're out there trying to fight fire. And my big concern is that your capacity is just so low right now that you can't take care, none of you can take care of everything. And somebody's left out in the dark. And that's a huge concern for all of us. We don't know how to help that. So we have to figure out how to get you more help. And how to share all these responses, how to figure out how everybody can take care of everybody. And the Gulches are in need of your support, and we have to figure out how to make that happen, how Supervisor Kropseff and I can help you get what you need. So, yeah, reach out to us, and hopefully we can help get you the numbers you need to move forward with that. And if in your next report, when you come back next year, you can change Lisa Nixon's name to mine, I would really appreciate that. You can update your report. That would be great.
Apologies.
That's all I got.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah, it just seems like an annual appeal. You know, I've been on this far too long, and I remember a municipal services we did with LAFCO, talk about consolidation. I used San Bernardino as an example where they went to a countywide fire department. It's great that you want to expand, but if you ain't got the volunteers to get there, I mean, maybe they get a break on the insurance because they're incorporated, I suppose. I feel very fortunate that my community, Mount Shasta, the Fire Protection District, Dunsmuir, has a fairly stable amount of volunteers, long-standing, long-serving people. And having said that, you know, I know most of our calls are medical. I see that, you know, the overall total is still medical. So we move on a lot of fronts. You know, at the end of the day, the people got to step up. You know, I don't know why we don't have, quote unquote, at least a hybrid paid fire staff of some sort. At some point, we're going to have. It's not a matter of, you know, if but when. And you know, I think people are already seeing the lack of insurance rates that are going through the roof. And you know. You can put it all on us all you want, but I've been on, and Supervisor Kropseff knows this well. We've been trying to push forward with whatever we can to support the firefighters. But I think it takes the chiefs to come together and say, we got to consolidate, we got to come up with a plan, because we will support any plan that comes through, right? We're not going to tell you no, not to expand. But I recall Black Mountain, the people out there did not want to, be in a fire district. They don't want to pay. And I think people sometimes think about it from a short-sighted standpoint. You really got to think long term. And if you can't get insurance, you're putting all that at risk. I would hate to, as an example, if I'm doing some work on my house, I'm just putting a little bit of money into it. I would hate to think that goes up in smoke, if you will, because I'm not going to recoup that. So, we all collectively have a vested interest in making not only the best of what we have, but trying to move forward and improve it. So, whatever roadblocks at the county level, let us know so we can clear that. But we got to get the word out. These people have to step up. Hammond Ranch, I think, doesn't have anyone there. I spoke to Bob, I was at the post office. He's the only one driving the truck. I mean, that's a vulnerable area up there. So, again, I think, unfortunately, where's the hands raised on, what do we got to do? Type things. And that's what my soapbox.
So, and just real quick, though, I think that right now the county's starting another municipal survey review. And so now's a good time to get a lot of that stuff in the review, because I think 05 was the last one, so now they're starting another one. So it'll be good for you guys to get a report from that side of it too.
What is that?
It's the review of all the departments,
okay.
Not only their sphere of influence, but their calls, their stations, their needs, all that goes into a review. And it's really a good, it's supposed to be done every 5 years.
Does it establish the ISO ratings as well?
No.
No, okay.
No, but it will report on those.
Okay.
On it, that's part of it. Yeah, the ISO ratings are strictly each individual apartment. It's kind of their report card. ISO comes out, goes over all of your equipment, your training, your staffing, all that, and that's what develops the ISO numbers.
Supervisor.
One other thing we haven't talked about, I wanted to bring up. When I managed a federal workforce, firefighting, they paid very close attention to burnout, firefighter fatigue, even PTSD. And the reason I bring it up is that finally, that was 15 years ago now, and I saw it in my workforce, it manifests itself in drug use, alcoholism, even suicide, and retention. So I saw an article last week regarding the new fire season, if you will, in the West, and how PTSD was not only an emerging but almost a catastrophic situation among the larger firefighting forces like Cal Fire and the other states and the federal workforce. What is your assessment of what's going on, maybe in the volunteers and locally, whether or not that's leading to the attrition we're seeing in the ranks?
I could start with the volunteers. I think that once you get to that burnout, that's where you start seeing a big turnover, where they just quit responding. And it is a huge problem. There's been quite a few departments that have lost a lot of our core folks because of the burnout. And it's really hard to manage that, especially when you don't have new members coming in. I think the whole PTSD, in my opinion, the key is to treat it before it becomes that and prepare them for it, and we're not doing that. We usually wait till it's a problem and then try to deal with it. But it is a problem within the volunteers, just the volunteers can kind of step back where the paid guys can't. I mean, they have to quit.
Oh, that's on top of it.
Yeah, Supervisor Halpin, that's a great comment and question. It is an issue for the fire service. Our folks see devastation, they see death and destruction, and it can be cumulative for those individuals. And just like Chief Paul mentioned, the best way to deal with that is to address it early on. And so we do take a lot of steps, a lot of proactive steps to have those discussions with our new hires as they come into the fire service to kind of describe that to them and things to watch for. But also we have increased our ability to communicate with one another with after-action reviews so that we can get that stuff off of our chest. We actually have debriefings as well for those critical incidents that occur out there that may have long-lasting effects on our personnel. So it's definitely a concern. It's something that we do have some resources that we can provide to our employees, and it's beneficial for their long-term health and well-being.
One thing I will add, we had an incident here in the city, I think it was November, December, where we had lost a child. Anyway, the debriefing that one of Phil's guys put on before, and there was probably 25 of us there. It was probably one of the best debriefings that I've been to. Kent Cunningham ran it, and he did an excellent job, and I think that it literally helped everybody that was on that call. So I think those kinds of things do help. There's a lot more knowledge out there on how to handle them, and we're seeing that being delivered on the ground, which I think is a great thing.
So I guess in bringing that up, I'd be interested in anything this board can do to help that situation or help alleviate that situation, because all I see now is a continued escalation of what would attribute to burnout. I spent 7 years doing fatality investigations prior to retiring, and I can tell you the PTSD is real. I have colleagues that are barely functional. Because of that, and that I don't know how we as a board can affect that, but I want to know if there's something we can do. That always up. situation that doesn't allow you the time to relax between incidents. And Chaplain Bradley was pretty good doing critical stress debriefs for my unit. Historically, I'm just not aware that we're doing enough, maybe as a county, through if there's HHS services or something we can provide to our volunteers that would help them cope with that situation.
Thank you for that. And the chaplain service has been great for to this program and for the first responders in this county. So your support of that has been crucial. Thank you.
Yeah, they're real responsive.
Good.
Very good.
That's
yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Supervisor,
I guess, facing facts, the population of Siskiyou County is not getting younger. And I mean, we also have a lot of second home residents that don't live here year-round. And so there's not a lot of young people coming up to are serving the fire service. And, you know, the ones that you do have, like you say, are kind of getting to the point of, you know, they've been doing it for so long, they're done. We probably should begin, I mean, we've talked about it for a very long time. Maybe we just establish a working committee through your chief's association and a couple of board members that begin to look at what does county fire look like. I know that's kind of a third rail, but I think it's the future, and I don't know what, because that's going to provide paid staff at stations versus how are we going to scrape up another volunteer and hope they stay for a year or two or three or four or ten.
I know that. Me.
Huh?
Volunteer me.
Volunteer you. Yeah. And I'm willing to serve on there as well. So
excellent.
Whatever that takes, I think let's start. And I mean, we've looked at things in the past and, you know, we haven't had much success, but I don't know what other option there is out there, because there was a huge influx of people willing to step up. That'd be one thing, but I think we just don't have it. So, anyway.
Yeah, no, we can put together a committee. And one thing I will say, there's a change in our citizens and for support of the departments, especially I think it's through them losing their insurance. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's like you guys mentioned Black Mountain that they did. I think it'd be a different story today.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, as I'm seeing down in Cram and Guy's Gulch, it's a completely different story. And you can take South Waurika's boundary maps as an example where it's all checkerboarded. It's back when they developed it in 1973, they went and asked every resident. The ones that said no, they carved it out. The ones that said, yeah, I got in it. And that's why you see it follow the prop. But today, that wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody's supportive of it.
Any other questions or comments? I just had a few on the firefighter endorsement. So for drivers, for volunteers that want to be drivers, they need to do the CDL or you can do the firefighter endorsement. There's two paths, isn't there?
Yes.
All right. And for the firefighter endorsement, do they have to take the class also for that one?
Take a test?
I know the test, but I mean the class, the driver operator.
Yes.
Class.
Yeah, you have to take the driver operator. There's some prerequisites for that.
All right.
And which is like, well, I just did the company officer, driver operator, and it took us 2 months of doing it, 4 hours on Thursday nights to get through it. So it's a pretty extensive class, and it was actually pretty difficult training. We had to do the 290, which is the weather one. But everybody got through it, and it was just a matter of time, but it actually went pretty well. But it is, you know, it's about a 40-something hour course to be able to get through it.
All right. And then in regards to, I know for those SAD runs, Chaplain Bradley does a great job meeting with him. And for those, I tell people that are volunteering, you're not there for the person necessarily that passed away. You're there for the family members and all the bystanders nearby. And that's the service you're providing at that moment. That's who you're really helping. You're helping all those folks that they're moving on and moving past something. Otherwise, you go back years and years, they didn't have that assistance by people with the uniforms walking in. One of the things I was interested in too is the for the fire chiefs. There's a lot of fire chiefs that are, you know, some are great mechanics, some are great managers, but not all are great grant writers. And there's funding out there from grant organizations, safer grants, those sorts of things that could be a hybrid before we get to the county fire system. That could fill the gap short term. So be interested in, you know, work that could be done there for. When you look at the area, it has two volunteer firefighters. Probably one of them is not a grant expert, but there might be potential safer grants or grants that you guys know of that could fill those gaps as we move towards county fire. Okay. Whatever we can do there, whether it be the county's fire chiefs that lead that, or something that gets either a grant writer or a grant administration or a grant firm, something along those lines. One of the things, too, I know for volunteer firefighters in East County, there's an organization called Tiny Mighty Strong that was talking about this at their last meeting. And so the volunteer ambulance services, some areas, Mount Shasta, Wairika, have Mount Shasta ambulance. You go to West County, you have Aetna ambulance, I think partly volunteer. You have East County, you have volunteer as well. You know, some people think it's all or nothing, but if you can do your training, keep up on your skills, and make 10, 20 runs a year, you've done your part. You know, you don't have to be every call all the time. If you're overcommitting, you have to, if you have a percentage of people that picked up for the smaller number of runs, you know, less than the load on everybody there. And I know you've talked about that, Phil Enzo, or Chief Enzo, with the beat mob, which I like, where you might have operators, or you might have people that meet certain skill sets, and they just comply with that. Are we doing decent with the beat model? I know some departments have that.
Yeah, Montague Fire has actually been real successful with that, and we've been watching them to see how it evolved, because they were testing that process out, and we want to expand that into the other areas in the county, because we think it may be an avenue to gain additional volunteers, as long as they realize that they're not committed to respond to all incidents. They can actually choose to drive the fire engine to that incident because they're operator only. Or they could choose just to go to medical calls because they're medical only trained individuals. So there's some other avenues, and some people are good at accounting. And being a grant writer would be a great thing, and they could be brought on as a staff person for that department. So there are a lot of opportunities with that model. And we just need to implement it in other locations and continue, hopefully, see success through that.
No, I like that. It's especially if both of you have vast experience with wildland fires, having that water tender show up to assist that CAL FIRE engine could be a make or break for the whole small incident and large incident. I've also been on a structure fire where there's just two of us, and I was hoping to get on the water tender. Boy, it gets the heart beating quite a bit. So I like the butte model approach. I think we'll probably have this on the agenda down the road, too. I'd also be interested in being on that task force, but there's only five of us.
All right.
And only two can be on it, so we'll respect that. I know East County, we're working on combining services over there, so. Anything else from colleagues? Great. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'd just like to take an opportunity to introduce Sean Raley. Sean? Sean is the newest assistant chief of camp operations at Deadwood.
Okay.
Hello. I briefly began my career here in 1995 as a firefighter one. Spent several years in Siskiyou County. I was raised in Siskiyou County. I left for 20 years or so and worked in neighboring counties, Humboldt, Lassen, and Modoc. And on April 1st, Chief Enzo hired me at Deadwood Camp. So. It's a pleasure to be back and a pleasure to serve the citizens of Siskiyou County. Thank you.
Could you just give us an update on the Deadwood?
Yeah,
what's the
sure.
history?
Yeah, so as you guys know, in 2015, there was legislation passed for early release programs, and those laws are still in the books. So statewide, we're down to about 45% of where we should be for crews. That includes some of our National Guard crews, 3C crews, inmate crews, and the firefighter crews that we have. So we're at less than half of where we should be. Chief Enzo has done a very good job at pressing the region chiefs to make our camp a priority for inmates. So we're out of 16 camps in the north. We're one of two or three that have two crews now. So we're at half capacity of four crews is what we should be. But we do have two crews, and most of the camps in the north don't have that. So,
are they scheduled out? Because they used to do work like around Lake Siskiyou, around some of the schools, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yes, we're still doing the daily projects, fuels projects, community service projects.
Okay.
But with the lack of crews, we can't do quite as many. But every day the crews are out.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Yeah.
What's your daily cost these days?
It's $200 plus the admin fee. I think it's $225. Yeah, it's cheap.
Okay.
That leads me to a question for either you or Chief Anzo. I forgot to ask one down my list. How are we looking for staffing for CAL FIRE in the county itself?
CAL FIRE staffing is looking really good. We'll be at full capacity here very shortly.
Right.
We actually have the last seven or eight personnel that are going through training right now. So that will bring us up to almost 100% capacity. So this year we'll have our 13 engines again. We'll have two crews through the summer. We also have a 501 hand crew that's been paid for through augmentation funding. We've had that for the last 2 years. It's been the third year running, so it's been a great resource and asset for us. We'll have our two dozers plus a third surge dozer, and two additional fire engines will be given to us for surge capacity, so that we have all these personnel, we can place them on those engines when needed. We're also going to receive an exclusive use helicopter here in July, which will be based out of Montague, and that will be a Type 1. We've had that for the last 3 or 4 years as well, and it's been a great asset, being able to put water on those fires early on and keep them small.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm hearing rumblings about condition or lack of condition of the tanker base. What's the status of the tanker base?
Our reload base? Actually, yeah, the reload base was put back in operation last year, and they are back up and running. It does take some time, reaction time, to get the personnel to that location, but I'm sure that it will be utilized this year and in the future.
Great. Anything else from colleagues?
Thank you. Thank you very much,
Chief Anzo. Oh, Chief Anzo, just so we can get you out of here, I'll do County Service Area Number 4 now.
Excellent.
I didn't like that. And I already ran it by our DARE officer to make sure it was all right, so we're in good shape.
Thank you.
So we'll recess as the Board of Supervisors and do County Service Area Number 4. I see no in-house public comment. Ms. Nielsen, any outside?
None online.
Okay, item 7B, General County Fire in the Cloud Service Area contract. Chief Anzo.
Yeah, good morning again. Phil Anzo here as the County Fire Warden representing CSA 4. This action item before you is a renewal of an agreement for service between the McLeod Fire Zone and McLeod CSD to provide fire protection services. In the past, CAL FIRE has provided those services through a contract with the McLeod Fire Zone, and unfortunately, our costs have exceeded their revenue this last year, and so last year was the first year we entered into this agreement, and talking with the McLeod Fire Advisory Board, they are very pleased with their service provided, and McLeod CSD, McLeod Fire Department, is very capable of providing that service here into the future. So we recommend that we continue on with this agreement for service for an additional year, and probably more so in the future.
Thank you. I just looked at my calendar here real quick. I think it's Thursday night at 6 o'clock at McLeod Fire. We're going to have an informational meeting. We may even have this discussion.
Yes, I'm sure that they will.
All right. Any questions from colleagues? With that, I'll make the motion to approve the contract.
Okay. Director Hupp?
Aye.
Director Cobbsett?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yes.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Aye. We'll adjourn the County Service Area Number 4. And then for SB 443, did you have a copy of that letter? Not yet, which is fine.
Yeah, I forwarded it to everybody so you can read it on your computer.
Okay.
And then if the board approves it, we can have it printed out and brought over at some point for your signature.
All right. Just, Ms. Wendy?
Yeah, just make sure the clerk gets a copy of that letter.
Sure, absolutely.
And with the urgency worksheet as well.
Of course.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Does my colleagues want to take that one up right now and review it? We'll take a probably a 5-minute break. That's right.
Okay.
Right now?
Yeah.
Yep, that works.
All right.